we present My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiner. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. Thank you. How nice to be with you again for another edition of My Music, the panel game in which the contestant's erudition is only matched by the chairman's impartiality. Those contestants being, as ever, of course, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden versus John Amis and Frank Muir. And a simple question to each of you in this first round, and the answer is worth a mark. Ian, why should this music make me think of the Rhone Valley?
Steve, it may make you think of the Rhone Valley. It makes me think of something quite different, because unwittingly you have quoted there a piece of music that, for me, is particularly nostalgic, because that was the signature tune of, so far, the only television series that I ever wrote and presented in front of a camera. It was a series on opera, although that's not an operatic piece of music, which I did in Scotland. A great many programs about opera, and we had that as our signature tune.
Why? Because it's not operatic, is it?
It's not operatic, but our producer found it, and it somehow seemed a jolly nice bit of music to start the program. And even just now when I heard it, my heart started to beat faster, remembering particularly the first program. The first time you go into a television studio, and not only are you going to take part in the thing, but you've written it, and if the things are flop, you are going to be entirely blamed, and that's going to be that. And I know why it reminds you of the Rhone Valley, because it's from Bizet's La Lesienne Suite, which was incidental music for a play about Arles.
A Girl from Arles, yes, that's right. But I still think it's a weird choice for an opera programme.
I suppose it was, really.
It's like, you remember Andre Previn has a story that he was sent for by a Hollywood producer in his younger days, and this producer said, I want you to write the music for this film about crime in the 48th precinct of New York City, and I don't care what you write, but I want you to use Thalita Lindo as the music. And Previn said, why? He said, because it's my favourite tune, that's why.
Well, I dare say it was my producer's favourite tune.
Well, there you are. A mark to you, Ian. Dennis Norden, who is this singer?
My partner, it's dancing time. The clock says 10. Won't you say when? I'm ready, go steady, when we begin. The time is right, I think we might.
At my time.
Yes, that's him.
I presume that the point of this, apart from not daring to expose me to opera of any kind, you want to make the pun between the Rhone Valley and the Rudy Valley.
I hadn't thought of it, actually. No. It takes a professional writer to come up with that.
Right. Yeah. Rudy Valley. His signature tune for many years called My Time Is Your Time.
Yes, sung, I always like to think, through a megaphone.
Yeah.
Yes. Recorded in 1929, that record, although doctored, I think, since by a recording engineer. A mark to Dennis. John Amis, a singer for you of two musical worlds. Who was he?
Known by the lonely heart, can know my sadness, alone and parted far from joy. And
John.
Recognize him?
I think that's Ezio Pinza.
Yes. His original name was Ezio Fortunatio. And indeed he was. Because he was chosen by Bruno Walter for Don Giovanni and by Rodgers and Hammerstein for South Pacific. And that's what I meant by two musical worlds. Pinza, it was.
Did you know he started his adult life as a racing cyclist?
Yeah. Really, that's where the wind, good wind training
well,
for
I
a
think
singer,
so.
Isn't it?
One of the greatest singers. Mm. Super.
Yeah, it's a voice of real character, of course.
Marvellous.
Part of the battle anyway, isn't it? Yeah. A mark to John Amis for Pinza there. Frank Muir, a thoughtful piece for you. What does it come from?
Meditations on thighs.
Give or take, yes. Yeah, so, well, yes. So meditation from Thais, as we,
oh, that's
as
true,
we no. dullards call it.
Massenet.
Yes, comes from Massenet's Thais. It's a story I'm just to discover about a courtesan who becomes a nun, and it's set in 4th century Egypt. What? Don't quite know what nuns were doing then. Story by Anatole France. Anyway, you got it from Frank the Mark.
Well, they were there.
Meditation from Thais. Some quotations about music and general musical matters. Ian, Sir Thomas Beecham remarked once, "So far as the public is concerned, there are only two requisites for a good performance." What were those two requisites?
I think probably in his day, he would have sought the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and himself.
Very tempted to give you the marks, because he would have thought that, wouldn't he? I should have thought that.
The only other thought that occurs to me is the remark that's attributed, I think, to Edison, where he said that genius is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration.
Yes. Actually, Beecham was talking about something to do with the performance of the orchestra when he said there are only two requisites for a good performance, something about the actual playing. I think perhaps I can give you one out of two. I don't quite know why. He said the two requisites for a good performance were that the orchestra should begin together and end together. And he added, anything in between doesn't matter much to the orchestra.
Is it? One of the lesser known, I think, Beecham stories was when he went with the violinist Jean Pougnet to appear with an amateur orchestra somewhere in the country. And they had engaged Sir Thomas and Jean Pougnet to go and do this performance. And the amateur orchestra were so overawed by the occasion that the start of it was highly disastrous, but Sir Thomas kept going in his imperturbable way, just beating away, and after a while they sort of all settled down a bit. And still conducting, he leaned over to Jean Pougnet in the leader's desk and said, "Don't look now, Mr. Pougnet, but I believe we're being followed."
Very nice. Dennis, back to the quotes. Who led a lousy rabble of low degree?
Lousy rabble of low degree.
It's going to be a song.
And to hell with Burgundy.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
On with the lily banners go.
That's right.
The Vagabond King.
Yes.
François Villon.
François Villon, yes, in the verse of the Song of the Vagabond. Mm. Yes. John Amis, what musical premiere, notable musical premiere, took place with the assistance of Eric Crozier at the Empire Cinema, Leicester Square, on November the 26th, 1946. Premiere. Eric Crozier was a part writer.
Well, Eric Crozier is very much associated with Benjamin Britten,
correct?
Empire Cinema.
But they wouldn't premiere an opera at the Empire Leicester Square, would they?
No, that's very true. Perhaps it was a film.
Yes, that's right. A documentary film.
Looks.
Got it.
Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra.
That's right, yes. It was the first performance of the documentary film that included Britten's and Eric Crozier's Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra. The commentary, of course, by Eric Crozier. You just made your two marks there. Frank, what was said to be the very first thing that Napoleon did on entering Vienna in 1805?
The second thing he did.
It's been a long
campaign,
wait.
With the call for deux cafés and deux chocolate cakes. Doesn't seem to satisfy you, does it?
Not entirely. Not entirely.
You look glum.
No, I'm looking glum, that's right. I'm looking a bit wrong.
Happy, Steve.
Yes. Does John know? It's rather nice, actually.
No,
doesn't fit in.
Don't forget that Beethoven was alive then.
Oh, that
Haydn was still going about.
Ah.
Haydn.
Ah.
He went into Haydn.
We won't be helped, will we?
he said, take me to Papa Haydn's house. And he clapped the old composer on the head and said, sir, no, that's the other one, monsieur, yes.
It's so nearly right, I think you ought to have two marks.
Three.
Said to be the very first thing that Napoleon did on entering Vienna in 1805 was to have a guard placed on the home of Haydn.
Oh,
says somebody in the audience. It's rather nice.
Was Haydn at home at the time?
Yes, I hope so, yes. And on to the next round. And some music written in our own time by one of our own composers. Snatch of music by a British composer, Alan Langford, depicting in variation form certain colours. They're called, in fact, his colour variations. The question, of course, is which colour? How near can you get to the composer's mind? Ian, you first. What colour would you say this music is? Ian.
Orange.
Yes, I think that's all good enough, really. He would have said, active yellow is the composer's name for it. So yellow, I think, yellow's near enough to orange, isn't it? That's right.
If ever there was a bow drawn at a venture.
Well, there you are. An orange bow gets you a yellow mark. One mark to you. Dennis Norton, what's the colour here?
It's a bit easy. We've had our bathroom done in that. It could be a kind of rather sultry flesh tones, but I'd rather gather it's blue.
Yes,
of some kind.
That's right. Yes, where one mark to you, he calls it blue cool. John, this is where I part company from Alan Langford, because I just don't see the colour connection here. I wonder how you'll get on.
Pieces,
No, they're all by this chap, Alan Langford.
They're
all by Alan Langford, yes. What colour would that be?
I think it's the sort of piece you might find in the Yellow Pages.
That's not bad, actually. I think that's all right. In fact, it's got to be all right, because it's the reverse of Alan's answer. You say yellow, the composer called it orange for industry. So, fair enough, Yellow Pages it is. One mark to you. And
it's
for bad, Frank...
This,
bit of a mixture, Frank, for you.
Mm-hmm.
does that suggest in the way of colour?
Composing a colour is rather like whistling a tree.
Yeah.
what tree am I whistling? Yeah. It's a revolting pair of pyjamas.
Yes, I think that's about right. He called it piebald comedy. I think a revolting pair of pyjamas would do very nicely.
What is the name? There is a word when you try to express one art form in terms of another art form. Is it John? Is the sort of thing John would do in a lecture?
You don't mean the pathetic fallacy?
No. Is it? The listeners will know. Is it synesthesia? Like, it's something like that. Where
would you ask listeners to write to you, not to me, please, with the answer?
The pathetic fallacy is that Dennis and I know anything about music.
Actually, depicting colours in music is not new. A great many very good composers have often listed it, after all, in a colour symphony. And that particular composer I was mentioning, Alan Langford, he is here in the audience. You ask him to show his true colours and take a bow. Alan, come on. You'll never forgive me for that.
If it's commissioned, if somebody commissioned it and you commissioned colours and you do that whole thing of saying, would you do me a blue? And Alan writes all, and say, no, I really wanted it slightly more mauve-y.
Yes. Oh, well. We move on to a round which is rather more literary. These are some sayings about music. Ian, who wrote, give me books, fruit, French wine, fine weather, and a little music out of doors played by somebody I do not know? I'll give you a clue. He didn't write those words on a Grecian urn. Don't know.
would have been a comparatively near neighbour of mine if we'd lived
at
the same time.
That's right, Hampstead.
John Keats.
Keats, that's right. He wrote it in a letter in 1819. That's a mark to you. Dennis, who wrote, music and women I cannot but give way to, whatever my business is?
Don't know.
He wrote it in 1666 in his diary, folks.
Oh, well, that's...
Evelyn, you're going to say, aren't you?
Well, Pepys, I think.
Samuel Pepys, yes. I think half a mark's enough there, out of one, because you really didn't know, did you? John, who wrote, hell is full of musical amateurs?
Oh, and aren't the next words something about music is the brandy of the damned?
Mm-hmm. Come along then, the name.
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Corno di bassetto.
Yes, that's right. Otherwise known as...
George Bernard Shaw.
He wrote it in Man and Superman, yes. Hell is full of musical amateurs. Frank, in a past programme, you quoted Dr. Johnson's line about music being the only sensual pleasure without vice. Who similarly, and later, called music the only cheap and unpunished rapture upon earth?
It's the marvellous Reverend Sidney Smith.
That's right, in 1844. The year before he died, so he was permitted to redraft Dr. Johnson's bon mots, I think, by then. A mark to you. And time for some splendid singing. Not the final round yet. Another one to go. Ian, you have the pleasure of telling us for half a mark each name the song, the composer, the singer, and the accompanist, who must, of course, be Gerald Moore, or I wouldn't be asking you, would I? So, song, composer, singer, accompanist. Ian, pick up 2 marks.
The accompanist is Gerald Moore.
How right you are, yes.
The song is by Schubert.
Yes.
Di Forelle.
Yes.
The trout.
Yes.
This rotten man, fisherman who goes along and muddies the water so that the wretched trout doesn't see what's being done to it.
And the singer?
And the singer, I think, is... Elizabeth Schwarzkopf.
That's his leg. Yes, Schwarzkopf it is. That's 2 4-half marks equals 2. Dennis, here's another song from that superb singer. For your two marks, what is the song about? It's an interesting test, I think, both of you and, come to think of it, of the composer. What is the song about?
I'm afraid the composer failed that test. It's a shame. Never mind, you can't win them all.
What colour do you think it was, Dennis?
the solution was in the accompaniment, actually.
That's what I was thinking of, water going over a lot of stones, in a fast-running water going over a lot of stones.
Well, you're getting a little warm in a sense. It's actually a song, it's called Mandoline. It's a song about a mandolin player. The mandolin chatters away amid the shivering of the breeze.
Do you think that's warm? Yeah?
Well, I just think sort of chattering away. No, I don't think it's warm. It's no water, marks, isn't it? Poem by Verlaine.
Verlaine, who wrote "I'm Always Chasing Rambo."
John, who wrote this, and roughly when? John, whose is it?
It's by Schumann.
Yes. And when did he write it, would you say? A year or his age, if you prefer?
1834?
I think it's near enough. 1840, when he was 30 years old. That gets you two marks, I think, for that question. The title of the song was?
Du meine Seele. Let's cut up on, what is it called?
Start mit der Ruhe.
Songs without titles.
Wiedmung, never mind. Frank, all these lovely songs we're hearing by Elisabeth Schwarzkopf. Wouldn't it be nice if you could spell her? For two marks.
Schwarzkopf.
Oh, he's done it. And on to the last round, in which this week all the songs are about races or race. Ever since I was 5 years old, people have been making puns about my name, calling me the human race, and expecting me to fall about laughing as they do. So, Dennis, I hear the human race is falling on its face and hasn't very far to go, but every whippoorwill is selling me a bill and telling me it just ain't so. Can you continue the song?
I say life is just a bowl of jello and appear more intelligent and smart, but I'm stuck like a dope with a thing called hope, and I can't get it out of my heart. That's as far as I go.
That's as far as you need to go. For two crisp marks. That was lovely. Rather.
It's a song that I heard of somebody refer to as a cockeyed oculist. Yeah. Yes. A cockeyed optimist.
Yes, from South Pacific, John, race in a different sense for you, or rather from you. An Indian song, please. An Indian chanson, even.
Oh, yes.
I give you a call. Maybe. You got the words right as well. I think I'm going to knock off a mark. You didn't give us any words. You favoured us with the tune only.
He was doing the Tommy Dorsey version.
Do you want it in Russian?
Yes.
I
don't believe a word of it. Only one out of two. You can spare it. I can see the scoreboard.
That wasn't Russian. That was Little Russian.
Very little Russian.
I can do it in
Serbo-Croat. Good.
Frank, you seem to be rather well up, I've noticed, on the old music hall songs. Can you recall one about a donkey race? Donkey race.
Yes. Hang on. Does it go down or up? Down the road, away went Molly. Was very jolly. I knew she'd win. Down the road, the pace was killing, but the mare was ready for a likely spin. All the race well left and might as well have never been born. Whoa, mare! Whoa, mare! You made your little bit of corn.
Which gets 2 marks and leaves Ian. The race, in your case, Ian, is one with an iron, a smoothing iron. I think of the key of F for you.
I think we'd better... this could go on a very long time, this one. I think we'd better assume that she goes to the launderette and she's got a spin dryer and a very hot place and we'll get it all over starting with Saturday. "'Twas on a Saturday morning when I beheld me darling. She looked so neat and charming in every high degree. She looked so neat and nimble, oh, a-washing off her linen, oh, dashing away with a smoothing iron, dashing away with a smoothing iron. She stole me heart away. 'Twas on a Sunday morning that I beheld me darling. She looked so neat and charming in every high degree. She looked so neat and nimble, oh, a-wearing off her linen, oh, dashing away with a smoothing iron, dashing away with a smoothing iron. She stole my heart away."
Time for us all to be dashing away, I'm afraid. A victory, though, this week by 1.5 marks for John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreier.